This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
And this is another thing that really, I think, speaks to her mindset of this case. I don't know that she fully accepts, you know, that this is real. Like, there's not other suspects here, Karen. There's another people are not on trial. You are on trial, but this is how she seems to be viewing a lot of it.
Jen McCabe was at the crime scene, and something happened. John was murdered. So, Jen McCabe, it's me or her. Either I'm going down, Jen, or you are.
Describe your relationship with John O'Keefe.
He was my friend. I love John. He was an amazing guy.
So when you went over to the storm door and looked out, what, if anything, did you see?
I saw a dark SUV. So at that point, I text him here. Pull behind me at 12:31.
And at any point in time, did John O'Keefe respond to your text messages?
No. And then a few minutes later at 12:40, when I say hello, I cannot be certain whether they were still out front or if they had left.
And what was your thought as far as where John was or where John had gone at that point?
At that point, I thought maybe they decided not to come in. Maybe they got into an argument.
Did you think much of it at that point?
No.
It's Jen McCabe or me. No, it's not. It's not Jen McCabe or you. It's very much you. Thoughts on that?
So in her, again, doesn't matter what we think it is or what yeah. she thinks it is. And so Karen thinks it's Jen McCabe or her, which says in her own mind, this is a popularity contest. So she's trying to win the popularity contest and likability contest. And yeah. from her mind, she sees herself as the most likable and popular person. That's from her context. Again, it's about being in her mind to understand why she's taken the actions that she's taking from her perspective. And in her perspective, she's won this because it's her or Karen or Jen.
Yeah. One more. This is an interesting view of the two Karen Reeds that many have observed.
I think there's two versions of Karen Reed inside the courtroom. There's the version when the jury's present and the version when they're not. And when the jury is not present, Karen Reed is often looking back and talking to her family, who's sitting right behind her, laughing, making small talk with her attorneys. But when the jury is there, she is often very stoic, lips pursed to a degree, looking straight forward at the witness.
Before the jury comes in, she's posing for pictures with Yannetti and Jackson and these spectators who get to come in, and those are getting posted all over social media.
It was really quite unprofessional, the way they all carried on. A lot of giggling, a lot of fun.
Yes.
While John's family has to watch that.
There's a claustrophobic feel in that room. The defendant is maybe 4 or 5 feet away from us, so it was impossible to not notice Karen's demeanor. In between witnesses, during witness testimony, she would look over and mumble something to her counsel, and then she'd smile or laugh or turn around to her parents and roll her eyes.
Excuse me, this is funny, Ms. Reed? All right, we're done.
I'm sure the O'Keefes hate every minute of this. I'm sure they hate every time I turn around, but does not bother me sitting that close to John's family. I've done nothing wrong.
Despite very brutal evidence provided, where jurors were crying, there was not a single hint of emotion from Karen. Not a single moment did she show a modicum of sadness or loss. And that is telling.
Yeah.
So there's your lack of empathy. Right there is she has a total lack of empathy or compassion for the family of her former boyfriend who lost their son.
Yeah.
That is what just was so glaring in there. And just her entire behavior there was she loves the attention.
Mm-hmm.
She is just loving this attention. She's soaking it all up, and that it's blinded her to anyone else around her,
mm-hmm.
Including her effect that she's having on people. And when you actually have such incongruent behavior between groups of people, and you're different for every group, that blows trust, because the behaviors of trust are very, very plain and simple. Open, honest communication, transparency, and vulnerability. Those are the behaviors of trust I speak about all the time, and she lacks them because she's extremely incongruent with how she's in one group with another group on the same topic.
Yeah.
It's the same topic, so you should have the same behavior with everyone that shows that you're in the core, this is who you are. When you have a different behavior set on the same topic with different groups of people, you're putting on an act and a show. Mm-hmm. And the act and a show is like, what changes when who or what enters a room or enters your surroundings? So in other words, it's very clear and evident that she's putting on a show when who she thinks needs to see something different enters the room, ends the jury. And so who she is at her core is where who she is when the jury's not around, which is, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And mm-hmm. and she said it. She can be in the room. It doesn't bother her that that John's parents are in the room. You know why? She doesn't care. Mm-hmm. She doesn't care that they lost their son. That, how horrible is that?
Let me do one more, and I'm just going to play it because it totally backs all of that up to the nth degree.
So this was John when he left to go out to see if McCarthy's, he's with his friend Mike, and John's going to move his car to a corner of the driveway so I can park in the garage in his stall because it's about to snow. And that's the last time he ever got out of his car. He never drove a car. Puts his baseball hat on. That was found on February 3rd. I don't feel much anymore. I feel sad for him, but it's all a precursor to this nightmare I'm living in. And when I used to watch it, like, I just felt, poor guy. I mean, everything he's doing is for the last time. Now it's become all about me. And I feel like I've mourned him and I'm fighting for him, but the fights have shifted to me now. I got to save myself.
I get she's probably a bit numb at this point, but what struck me in that is when she talks about how she originally felt watching it. And she just describes, I thought, poor guy. Who says that about your lover, about the person you're supposedly in a committed relationship with that dies unexpectedly, tragically? Poor guy.
You know, I don't know many investigators that are actually investigating a crime objectively have that lack of connection to what it is they're doing. And you know, my first impression was, wow, she sounds like more like an investigator rather than an accused. But then the investigators I know have more connection to the case and the people involved in the case than she showed. I mean, it's really...
Lack of humanity is really what it is.
She's very surface level on where she gets her needs met. That's the best way to put it. I mean, she's someone who gets a lot of, again, boy, pure conjecture. Cause mm-hmm. Who knows? But this is someone that posts on social media, get a lot of likes and a lot of hits.
Yeah.
We know those people in our lives. I mean, she, you know, it's caught up in the cult of comparison and the addiction of more.
Very much so. Very much so. I don't think this did her any favors.
No, it didn't. Her trial. And that's sad. You know, it's so sad that we have to go in this case, really highlights in this case, that we have to go with the only thing we have is that's analyzing not the data we have, mm-hmm. not the evidence, because the evidence is so controversial.
Yeah.
And because how it's collected, how it's maintained, because of malfeasance done in the police department by Proctor, you know, so that's one side. And so what are you left with as a jury and as the public witnessing it? You're trying to compare and contrast the two parties involved, and both are unlikable.
Yeah.
Then what are you left with? You know, all hope that you're left with is the judge and the jury.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens.
Her narcissistic behavior certainly doesn't make her a murderer. It doesn't make her that she needs to go away for the rest of her life. But in her character is obviously not on trial. It's funny. We're not even talking about, did she hit him or not? You know, or how did John O'Keefe die? We're talking about her character, but her character just says so much about, I guess, potential of, you know, could she have hit him? Because she clearly has already said, I might have, I could. And then I know I did not. And then you put the rest of the character and you learn about it and you go, this is a very confused person. And very much, you know, a chameleon will very much insert herself into wherever she feels she needs to insert herself in the way that she feels will best benefit herself. Everyone else be damned.
And you also know too, that whatever it is, because again, we keep talking about her character and everything. We also know from her own statements and everyone that was witness, they actually have no idea because they're so blacked out drunk. They have no idea what the hell they did. Yeah. You know, so whatever, I still think at the end of the day, no matter what happens, it wasn't intentional.
Yeah.
A tragic, tragic loss of a life. And because of the state that everyone was in and because of the personalities of people involved, you know, it's who knows what kind of justice is going to come about because of it.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.